Hi, Tom.
Hi, JC.
Oh my God! Like you're here in front of me.
It's right. You're coming at me in 3D.
The first ever 3D episode of Cheaters Never Pin.
Well, for just you and me.
That's true.
People that are watching on Twitch. Hello.
Yeah, we're live on twitch.tv/CheatersNVRPin for the first time tonight.
Yeah. For them, it's still 2D.
This is right. This is like Cheaters Never Pin 2.0. It's exciting.
We've transcended where we were before, just in an audio medium to an audio and visual medium.
I couldn't have put it better myself. I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised I said it myself.
Yeah, but we're excited. We're excited to be here in the same place with cameras on us, as terrifying as that may or may not be.
I have a microphone instead of my phone.
Right? This is nice, and we hope you all appreciate that.
Yeah, because JC paid for this. I didn't.
That's all right. I wanted to. It was fun.
Hey.
That's good. Tonight on the show, greatest Royal Rumble.
The greatest Royal Rumble.
Of all time.
You don't even need to preface. Anyway. Go ahead. Just keep going.
We're going to get a backlash next week. Sunday, whatever it is. I don't even know.
I don't know. There's a pay-per-view every week now.
Yeah. Even though we cut back on them dramatically?
Yes, we cut back on them, and we compressed both Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views into one pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But yet, we're having two major events
in 10 days.
10 days.
Fabulous. So we're going to talk about both of those things and whatever else comes to mind tonight.
Yeah.
On the first ever live edition
live
of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. Excited. So, Tom, I need you to do me a favor.
What is it that I do?
Can you ring the bell?
I can do that.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 Network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Who the hell was that?
That's the new voice of the show.
We have a voice?
Yeah, it's just a guy.
Where does he live in that box that you bought? Hello?
When I went to Guitar Center and was like, hey, I need a mixer that actually has a guy living inside of it.
He actually sounds like a Guitar Center like radio guy.
Well, yeah.
Like, get your Fender for right? $249.
On sale now. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. I'm JC. Here, literally next to me for the first time ever, at the commentary table to the stars, is my good buddy, Mr. Workrate Tom.
This isn't bull this time. This is actually in person. You're there. I'm here. I could throw something and hit you.
Yeah, we've lied to you for a year.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Kayfabe, brother.
That's all right. We have the right to break kayfabe. Kayfabe?
You're doing kayfabe in the kayfabe kind of voice where you make it sound like a silly nonsense word.
Which, I mean, it is. It's a carny word.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're talking about a carny business.
We've lost half the audience already.
we're down to two viewers and three listeners.
How many of them are
related actually to plus me? One on the listeners? So high five. Yeah. So tonight we're going to talk about the greatest Royal Rumble from this past Friday.
Greatest Royal Rumble.
We're going to talk about Backlash. We're going to sit here and drink our zero sugar Pepsi that we have. I just realized how badass that is. How like cool rock stars we are.
Yeah.
That for the first time people are actually seeing us do this, we're drinking zero sugar Pepsi.
It's delicious though. It is. It's in a black can.
Yeah. And we have you for the first time ever here. Yes. With us. If you're watching us on Twitch, hi, welcome. Contribute in the chat. We appreciate that.
Buy the merch.
Tom's wearing merch. I'm not. I've already been called out for that once tonight.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And if you're listening to us after the fact, through any of your various podcast sources, we still appreciate that, but come watch us on Twitch too. It's fun.
Yeah.
You can come hang out with us.
It allows you to get the experience before you normally would, because we end up recording this. We upload it. It's like 11:30, something like that. It ends up being kind of late on the Wednesday night. So it's usually Thursday morning. You wake up, you put in your commute or whatever. But if you're watching this live, you get it immediately.
Mm-hmm. You get us running our mouths before the show starts.
You get us screwing up completely.
You'll get us running our mouths after the show ends, probably.
Yeah.
For at least a little while.
We'll just keep going.
Yeah.
We do that.
That's what we do here at the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
Yes.
So, Tom, let's get into it. Let's get into the greatest. Is this the official, like, hand signal for greatest Royal Rumble? I didn't know.
I would put the hands up. It's very field goal. I don't know.
Field goal?
It's green. It's the greenest Royal Rumble.
It was.
There was a lot of green.
A lot of green. Overall impressions of the show Friday.
It was absolutely a show.
It was a glorified house show.
Yeah, it was. I like to say it's not. It was non-canon. It was just they put a bunch of matches out there. Every title I think was at stake, and nothing.
Well, all but two.
Oh yes. Well, as the Saudi Arabian people or government would allow you.
Correct.
The only ones that actually exist. Shh. But titles were defended. Nothing changed hands. Nope. We had a really long... It actually wasn't that long. Royal Rumble. For 50 people, it was not that long.
It didn't feel as long as I thought it would.
They said 90 seconds between introductions. After the first 10, it got to be about...
Seconds.
45
Well, they
seconds.
Say 90 seconds every year in January, too, and that's never the case.
Yeah, but at least they kind of stuck to that in the regular Royal Rumble. This was just pretty much like, guy would come in, go into the ring, somebody would get eliminated, they'd count down already.
Yeah. But I mean, it was an entertaining. I was entertained. I was sports entertained for 5 hours on a Friday afternoon.
Dude, I was at work, so.
I took off.
Yeah.
Because I'm a true fan, Tom.
Well, I'm a true fan that I ignored work and watched it.
Oh, anyway. There you go. It's even better. So let's run through the card here.
Okay.
Show starts with much pyro and ballyhoo.
Yes.
Holy crap, the pyro.
That's, again, as I said when I was watching it, it's not that they took away pyro from WWE in the past, like, year and a half or so. They were just saving it all for this card.
Yeah. Or they use that $20 million a year for the next 10 years the Saudis are giving them to do it.
Yeah.
Which that you heard that's the rumor on how much of this Vision 2030 money they're getting. $20 a year for 10 years.
That's some good scratch
Oh, yeah. You can say no to that on a moral stance, but at the same time, you do that, your shareholders revolt.
How much morality really is in wrestling?
How much morality is in any business? I mean, in all honesty.
They'll turn around and they'll throw a few of those dollars towards the Susan G. Coleman Foundation.
That's how they paid for all the donations from Mixed Match Challenge.
There you go.
Show starts, Triple H and John Cena go at it. And shockingly, other than the Rumble match, Triple H had the longest match of the show. Can you believe it, Tom? Hunter?
Well, they move a little slower nowadays, JC.
But Cena defeats Triple H, 15:45.
A decent match.
It was a good house show match. Whatever. I mean, it was very WWE style.
Triple H is
whatever.
Getting to the age where it's. He's a tag match guy. He's not necessarily a singles match guy. And it's not to say that he's in bad shape or anything like that. He's just both of them. I mean, Cena himself, too, isn't, you know, exactly great in the ring nowadays. So it's just
true.
The two of them. They were limited in what they can do. And if they're actually pulling together a 15, 16-minute match, it's going to be limited.
They had the crowd into it.
Yeah.
Which was nice. I mean, you've got two guys who know how to work a crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
And work the audience. So, that was the important part to me. Was that they start off with two big celebrities that they knew everyone in that, all 60,000 people in that stadium would know.
Yeah.
And got to a hot start. And it was, like you said, it was a fine match. Whatever.
That was it. It was the name people. And after Cena won, he took the mic and kind of gave a shout out to the crowd.
Gave a shout out to Nikki Bella. Because he cuts his promo and it's along the lines of, you know, I've had a lot of distractions. There's been a lot going on in my universe over the last few weeks. But of course, I wouldn't miss this event. And everybody's like, you're talking about Nikki. We know it.
Maybe there's something else. You know, maybe he's had some car issues.
He has a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Him and Leno, man.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander retains his Cruiserweight Championship in 10 minutes and 15 seconds of Kalisto trying to get the chant, the crowd to do the Lucha chant.
Lucha, Lucha. Come on, guys. I'm wearing green.
He just kept trying it. And every time I was like, oh, you've got to stop. You got to stop, brother.
That's because everybody in the first like 15 rows were in chairs like this one. That yeah. I'm sitting in right now. They seemed very comfortable. It looked like a Vegas sports book.
It did. And then there was that one pack of guys, like if you're like watching the TV feed, like off to the right, that just kept wandering around, that were like four or five guys. Yeah. They were clearly like using this as a networking event, like they were working the suite at the Canes game, like yeah. walking around just networking.
Just moving around. Yeah, I'm like, wait, I'm on the phone.
No, yeah.
Hold on. I'm over there in a minute.
Vince is in the back going, God damn it, tell those assholes to sit the fuck down.
Yeah. Wait, how much do they pay? That much?
Let them keep walking, God damn it.
Shove other people out of the way. It was a good match.
Yeah.
It was better than Cedric's WrestleMania match. It was more 205-ish than WWE Vince-ish, I guess.
True. The, what was it? Was it that top rope reverse or springboard Spanish fly? Some variation of a Spanish fly. That's the one move I remember that was awesome. But it was good. I mean, it was a solid match. Whatever.
Crowd wasn't necessarily as into it as you would have liked to have been. But again, this seems to be a crowd that more was looking for the mainstream stars, the Cenas, the Undertakers, people like that.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we expected.
Right.
This is a crowd that's not as deeply entrenched in the brand as American crowds are.
Right. And this was meant as a kind of a warm, and I guess that's why they let them kind of go off and kind of do the moves that they were going, because it's like, no one's going to know who the hell you are. So go out there and do as much flippy, jumpy stuff as you can. And they got a few decent little pops here and there.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy the Expedition of Gold is completed for the vacant Raw Tag Team Championships against the Bar. Yes.
I don't.
This was a match. That's my comment about a lot of this show. That was a match.
Yeah. I mean, you knew who was going to win this match because it was either Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, who are on Raw, or Cesaro and Sheamus, who are on SmackDown, for the Raw Tag Team titles.
But they could have gone back to Raw. You saw them with their contracts out, all excited on Tuesday night.
All right. Anyway, we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. And it was standard WWE tag team fare.
Yeah, it was fine. It'll be curious to see how far they go with Bray and Matt and whether more people join their like reincarnation.
When does Rebby show up? Do we get Rebby? They're talking about Senior Benjamin openly now. So
They've been in the vignettes and then. I mean, Rebby's been in a couple of them playing the piano, so it's
when they were all in Ultimate Deletion.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Bray to turn so we can have Ultimate Deletion 2.0.
Are they a little scared with Rebby? Because she's not exactly...
That she may be a little unstable on the Twitter at times?
Yeah.
A little bit. Jeff Hardy retains the United States Championship against Jinder Mahal in the first most memorable botch of the evening.
Oh, jeez.
Jeff Hardy comes off of, what was it? I don't even remember what move it was. Was it just a moonsault off the top? Or back elbow off the top rope or whatever?
I thought it was a moonsault type thing.
Yeah, I don't remember. All I remember is Jinder was nowhere close, so Jeff hits the mat after making zero contact or being anywhere near Jinder, and Jinder apparently feels the gust of air and takes a bump.
Well, when you're jacked like that, change in wind direction can affect you.
Yeah, that was awkward and bad. And it's just...
It puts you in that position, too. It's like when you have a botch like that, and it's not necessarily the botch itself, but... when you're trying to do the move and it misses like that, you've kind of got that choice in your head. Do you turn around and just kind of roll with it and go, okay, he missed, I'll try to take advantage of it, and then we'll do something, and then we can try to redo the move? Or do I actually sell it? And Jinder sold it.
He picked the worst possible option there. Yes. He could have played it off and pointed and laughed and got a little heat off of it. But.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's the equivalent of when you're on stage performing and, like, you accidentally drop a prop and then pretend like it never exists again, which is the worst possible option you can make, instead of being, like, you know, a normal person and picking it up.
JC throwing that theater degree in my face.
Right? Let me tell you. I've seen that happen on stage before, where something gets dropped and completely ignored, like it glitched through the floor of a video game and it's followed into the great beyond.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never been in any kind of production of anything.
Yeah, you are right now. Did you forget there's a camera directly in front of your face, Tom?
I'm referring to I don't know, the arts and.
Well, when we start going on the road with this, right?
Yeah.
When we were selling out, like, Carnegie Hall and...
When we develop all of our characters.
Yeah.
Because we'll have, like, wigs and stuff like that. Right. I don't know. And
when we're doing our impressions, well, obviously, like, it's just... You're going to have to dress up like Stu Hart all the time.
Yeah.
The hands! I've never seen the
that's
hands!
That's the thing! We have Twitch Nessie. Yeah. It's what you get into.
Apparently, you were at an Easter production.
Yes, yes, I was. So, that's right. I had
now
lines.
You're just lying to me. Oh, so you've been on stage.
I had lines. I actually had to remember like two lines or something like that. I totally forgot that. I just
drilled completely
out of my head. So
you're gonna be fine when we do an evening with Stu Hart on tour.
Get over here, JC.
It's so creepy.
It is. It's meant to be creepy.
So creepy.
And always the hands.
Can we go back to doing this over Skype? Because this is not like... Oh, man. The Bludgeon Brothers murder the Usos in 5 minutes.
Yeah, there was no Naomi to save them, so...
Well, because if she would have come out...
Yeah, I hate that Naomi.
All right, moving on past that immediately. So he's going to manage the Bludgeon Brothers whenever...
That would be great.
Then whenever she comes out to distract him again, he just starts going, yeah, and runs her off.
The Bludgeon Brothers managed by the ghost of Stu Hart. Yeah, I'm hunting you, yeah.
Vince is like, God damn, we can find that. We can find hologram technology.
That'll just piss off Brett again.
Oh no, because he's not already pissed off and bitter every second of every day.
Well, can you? Well, yeah, you can't blame him.
I can't blame him. Yeah, shitty stuff's happened to him. But get it together, Brett.
He was bitter long before the shitty stuff started happening.
Yeah. Best match of the day up next here?
Yeah.
The ladder match? Seth retains the Intercontinental Championship
right.
against Finn, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. With the most interesting ladder match finish I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Where, amazingly, Seth Rollins, after 25 years of ladder matches, finally figures out climb faster.
Right. But at the same time, while Finn's like, I don't know how to do this. How do I climb?
Yeah. It's like Finn's still stuck in like traditional ladder match mode where it's like one wrong, next wrong.
You forgot reach, one wrong, reach.
Reach, wait a second. That's very far away.
Next wrong, yeah.
That should be like a thing of like home improvement on the WWE network. You just see people trying to change light bulbs and they go like off the first step with the light bulb and they try to reach for it and they're like, no. Take one more step up. Can I reach it? Ah, no.
Yeah. What other home improvement tasks would be hard for WWE superstars? So you get changing light bulbs.
Okay.
Hanging the lights outside at Christmas. Same vein.
Yeah.
It's still ladder work.
Right.
Let's see, setting up a table at a party.
Yeah. We didn't pre-plan this.
So no, this was not a
this
good...
This is going to be a lot of dinner.
This bit did not go as well as I planned.
That's good enough.
I thought we had a little bit better improv skills, Tom.
No. I mentioned before that I was in no productions.
I did... Yeah.
And then there was the Easter thing. But this is not an Easter holiday, so I'm screwed again.
And I didn't do improv. I'm much better scripted.
No, we need apparently Derek and Wade.
Okay, so yeah. So we need to, so we're going to start up a wrestling improv troupe.
Yeah.
That we have no part in whatsoever.
Yes. We'll introduce it with heavily scripted scripts.
We can take them on tour with us. That can be like the, that can be our opening act, Tom.
The Cheaters Never Pin Players.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Love it.
We'll get an orchestra.
Do we need an orchestra?
A trombone.
We could just have an orchestra play theme music throughout the show.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, full orchestra, like... yes.
Would there'd have to be kazoos, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's just a thing.
Other highlight of ladder match. Finn taking the belt to the face when Seth gets it down and the plate on near the tail end of it smacks him on the face and busts his eye open.
Yes.
So... And I've heard this argument and seen this argument. Does that finish make Finn look like a total geek?
No.
See, that was my thought. Because Seth got lucky.
Yeah.
Seth made the smart champion decision. Right. Improved why he's the champion. But Finn had the match won. So it doesn't make him look weaker. He didn't get, you know, toyed with off the ladder.
No. And it's I mean, they've done a somewhat similar finish with the ladder match. Was it a couple of years ago when Zack Ryder won at WrestleMania? Where The Miz basically climbed the ladder, proclaimed how great he was, and was getting ready to take the belt, and Zack goes up behind and grabs the belt and ends up winning it, and then he ends up losing it the next day to The Miz.
Yeah. Remember that one day Zack Ryder was Intercontinental Champion? And everyone was like, that was unexpected and very cool. And then The Miz won, and we were like, oh,
we
okay.
We all popped, and then... Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know what else is fun?
What's that, Jason?
Shopping online.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you shop online, Jason?
I like to go, I call it the jungle because that's what the cool kids call it, right? Because it's called Amazon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, which is a jungle.
Isn't there a river too?
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, there's
a jungle.
There's like rainforest around it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
so
of.
So that's
like
a jungle.
Apparently, I need to buy an atlas or a map of some kind.
And where would you do that?
On Amazon.
Okay.
I'm going to go, you know what? Let me do that right now while I'm here typing.
So you're going.
Yeah. Right, Tom can see me.
I can actually
going,
watch what
Tom
you're
can watch me do this. I'm going to go to Amazon.com.
No. What are you doing? No.
I'm shopping online, Tom.
No. God.
Okay, well...
Have we not gone over this, like, for, like, a year?
Tom, I have a very terrible short-term memory. Please tell me what I need to do here.
All right. Close your damn browser out.
Okay, let me go back to where we were. Yeah,
just
pull
that's
our
not,
notes
that's
back
not
up.
Closing it out, but okay. Right. It's what do I know about computers? Anyway. So, here's what you do. You know we have that show... Cheaters Never Pin.
Oh, we have a show?
Yes. We have a show now.
I was unaware.
We're on it right
what?
Now. I've touched the mic. I've ruined everything.
Oh,
damn.
I got to start over.
Hello.
And Tom just murdered everyone's ears at 7:30 in the morning while they're driving to work.
Oh, everyone's dead now. Okay. So go to cheatersneverpin.com. Go!
Okay, hold on, I'm going.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah, that seemed realistic.
I typed.
Okay, so you go to cheatersneverpin.com, and you can see there are two, like, black boxes that are in the middle of the webpage where content normally would be.
Okay, I'm unfamiliar with the concept of content, but yeah, carry on anyway.
Okay, so the one on the right, and I'm just going to assume it's the one on the right because I haven't been there recently. It is. It is. You don't trust me.
No, I trust you.
You don't.
It's the one on the bottom.
Okay, so sometimes it's the one to buy. Anyway, it's the one that says Amazon.com.
It's on the right.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Anyway, it's a box. It's a black box. It says shop on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Click on that box.
All right, click.
And what happens is that box will bring you to Amazon.com.
Ooh.
And you'll go and you'll shop there and you'll do that the way you normally would. You put the stuff into your cart. You go, you buy it, whether it be an Atlas or Windows for Dummies or whatever it is that you need to purchase. People do
such
that.
A dick.
Yeah. And then you make your purchase just the same as you would through Amazon.com. And if you get Prime, it comes 2 days later. If not, you know, whatever. But the only little difference is that a portion of that money that you spend, instead of going to Jeff Bezos, where he will build communities on Mars.
Ooh, I'm in favor.
Instead, it goes, no, I'm in favor of money going to us.
Ooh, wait, what?
Yeah. If you go to cheatersneverpin.com, click on the Amazon button, do your shopping through Amazon, and make that purchase, a portion of the proceeds of that purchase go to Cheaters Never Pin. So please, please do it that way.
That was a good ad read.
Thank you.
It wasn't disastrous at all.
No, not at all.
AJ Styles retains his WWE Championship in a match against Shinsuke Nakamura with his new entrance music, which is, I don't know how you take entrance music that's already amazing and make it amazing. It's the greatest. It's the greatest.
It's heelish now.
Well, because now you can't sing along to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole point.
And the fact that it sounds very angry.
Yeah.
He's an angry Shinsuke.
Are you just saying that because it's Japanese?
He's yelling. The rapper is yelling the words.
At least it's not mumble rap.
No, it's not. It's very enunciated.
Shinsuke started coming out to mumble rap.
No. To bubble rap?
Shinsuke just rolls. They line the ramp with bubble wrap and he just rolls and all he hears pop, 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 pop.
In true heel fashion, he takes the bubble wrap, he goes to give it to people so that they can pop the bubbles, and then he takes it away from them and pops it in their face.
That's a solid gimmick.
That's a true heel.
I like that. One nut punch away from the ref. Oh boy.
One nut punch, it just sounds like a beverage choice.
What would be in a one nut punch?
A planner's party mix? I don't know.
Like in the beverage?
Just throw peanuts in the drink.
It's just like rum and Kool-Aid and like planner's cashews.
Throw some Chex in there.
Oh, God.
A little bit of Worcestershire, you know.
Oh, yeah. Dash of bitters.
Yeah.
Garnish with a whole lime. Just in the drink.
Just dropped right in there. Somebody's drinking with a straw and it gets stuck. And what's that? It's a whole lime.
To get a whole lime stuck in a straw is a skill set that I want to see a human being have.
You got to really suck to do that.
Yep. But we already talked about Jinder Mahal. High five! So after the saga of nut punches, Backlash on Sunday, AJ and Shinsuke is set to be no disqualification.
Nut punches all day long. They're just going to...
Yeah, the main reason, too, and that Paige claims that, is because it was a double countout. And I was like, that's not a disqualification. They've had no DQ... Like, they haven't had a disqualification finish in any of these matches.
No. If you want to want to avoid the count out, then
false
you
count
have
anywhere.
False count anywhere.
Right? And that's where I thought they were going to go with it.
Go with the good old... Well,
but we can't do falls count anywhere because this is Backlash and not Extreme Rules. We have to save that.
So what defines an extreme rule? Like where's the bar that gets set?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't include tables, ladders, chairs, TLC, or stairs matches because that's a different pay-per-view.
Right.
Hell in a Cell is not Extreme Rules.
No.
Elimination Chamber is not Extreme Rules. So like...
Does it have to be something that was part of Extreme Championship Wrestling?
So you could do a strap match. You could do a Singapore cane match.
Right.
You could do a barbed wire match.
Texas death match.
You could. Time bomb match.
Well, you could do a Texas death match. You could do a no disqualification match. You can do a, let's see. What are some other terms for the exact same match?
Street fight.
Street fight.
Yep. And yet with the city where you are in front of it.
Yeah.
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 Anything with plunder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, AJ and Shinsuke, no DQ on Sunday. Cool.
That still won't come to a resolution. We need to milk that a little bit longer.
Do we? Because I'm kind of starting to be over it a little bit. They haven't had a stellar match yet. Like, the kind of match I would expect from AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, we haven't seen yet.
And this match wasn't too bad. And I'm okay with the double count out. A lot of people were pissed off about that.
It was fine.
Again, this was a card that wasn't supposed to matter.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
Vince coming back on an aircraft carrier from Saudi Arabia with a mission accomplished banner.
The check cleared, ladies and gentlemen.
And we're supposed to go back and do this again in November. But in Riyadh this time.
Well, we've got lessons learned from that, so. But
do we, Tom?
No.
It's WWE. Do you think Vince learned one single goddamn thing from this?
God damn it, we gotta keep the women home. That's what we learned. Also, maybe not do the Iran-Saudi Arabia thing.
Ooh, yeah. I think that happened after this. I don't know.
Maybe not.
But we're gonna insert it here.
Yeah.
The four people that tried out.
Well, lots of people tried out, but
the four that were chosen,
yes,
to progress to the Performance Center were brought out and introduced in front of their hometown crowd. Awesome. Then you have Arya Daivari, and for some reason, Sean Daivari, because we needed to give him a payday out of there, coming out with an Iranian flag, waving it. Oh, it was uncomfortable. They've all since received, both Daivaris have since received death threats.
Yeah.
Apparently they were under a heavy security presence the entire trip because of this.
And the thing was too, we're not exactly sure who was giving the death threats because there were Saudi people that were pissed off about it. And there were Iranian people that were pissed off about it.
Not their brightest decision.
No, it's easy for wrestling and people like Vince and that type of thing to forget that wrestling gimmicks that have worked in the past there aren't treated as severely as they are in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and I think you have to be sensitive to the situation too. Like Rusev coming over here and doing like Russia, everybody's like, okay, whatever. That's funny.
Yeah.
Go with it. But, like, in the middle of a conflict like that, like, that's still an ongoing, like, deep-seated hatred. Like, maybe you don't do that.
I mean, it was... The closest, I guess, we had to that was when they did the Sergeant Slaughter, Iran, the Iraq...
That's probably the closest.
Gulf War.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they wouldn't touch... after 9/11, they didn't touch that for a while. And even then, like, what was it? 4 years later when they did, and I can't think of the dude.
Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah. Which was a great gimmick. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Just because
it can be a great gimmick and be in poor taste at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it was still too soon. That was what the issue was.
Yep.
But I mean, to have him come out there, basically, and the initial part of the gimmick was, for those of you not that familiar with it, he came out as a well-dressed man from the Middle East and basically was pissed off at the American people because of the way that he was being portrayed, how he was constantly being called a terrorist when he was just trying to earn his best living and things like that. He played it like the American people are the heel, and he's just trying to be honest. And of course, American crowd's going to boo him because it's still too close. Guy was actually Italian?
I think so.
Yeah. And he ended up leaving the business like the year after that.
Right.
Because he really couldn't do work after that. But yeah, it was. And then The Undertaker like destroyed him one week.
Yeah.
Like literally like.
They just buried the gimmick altogether. Derek asking, will they do a special in September in Saudi Arabia? So November is the last rumor I saw, and that's another big stadium like this in Riyadh.
It'll be a November to remember.
The Novemberist to rememberist.
Yes.
There you go.
The greatest Novemberist.
Forgot to add that. The other segment that we left out of this before we finish running through the matches here, we saw it on WWE Network, and apparently it was also seen in the stadium. They showed the awful lip sync commercial about the brands being together for all forthcoming pay-per-views.
That's great. That's advertising, you know. It just builds up.
Of course. And, of course, you know, they're going to show that in the stadium.
How could that backfire?
You know, the women superstars are in it.
Oh, no.
So I can't remember the exact title, but the Saudi Sports Authority, whatever you want to call them, not the chain of defunct sporting goods stores, but the Saudi Sports Authority.
right next to Modell's.
There you go. They had to issue an apology, being like, we told them not to do this. Like, we're very, very sorry for showing the indecent. I remember the word indecent was used. I don't remember the exact sense, but the indecent exposure of women and blah, blah. And, you know, it's just Sasha Banks standing there lip syncing.
Oh,
cool.
Carmella with that, you know, bottle of water, I guess, could have been.
Hunter had a bottle of water.
Well, yeah.
Hunter crotch chopped, lest we forget.
Yes, but he crotched his American male crotch.
So a dude chopping his crotch at another dude in the midst of a bunch of dudes in their underwear rubbing up against other dudes. Fine. A woman lip syncing on video. Too sexual.
Sorry, you said a woman and then it was already over.
Okay. All right. Oh boy. Anyway.
Other cultures embrace other cultures. Moving on.
Yes.
Moving on.
Especially when they're paying you $20 million a year for 10 years.
Especially if it's the rumor that supposedly the women still got paid as if they were there.
That doesn't make it better, though.
No, it doesn't make it better, but at least it could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But just being like, oh, you couldn't go? And also, Sammy, you can't go? Here's some money.
Yeah, the Sammy thing's a little awkward.
Yeah. Ooh, Sammy, you're from Syria? Sorry, Betty. You're of Syrian descent? Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go. Have a good weekend off.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about their travel schedule that they had to pull off that week.
Yeah, that's...
I'd be like, thanks!
Yeah, that's... That's probably pretty good, but
yeah, sucks to not have the exposure and do your job. But
Sammy is not necessarily going to get that exposure over in Saudi Arabia anyway.
Correct. The Undertaker defeats Rusev in 9 minutes and 40 seconds in a casket match. Cool. Undertaker looked as good as he's looked. He looked at WrestleMania this year. I mean, fine. He looked fine. He's still the Undertaker. He's still old. He still needed to retire after WrestleMania 33.
He did his match.
Yeah. Rusev got murdered at the end.
Yeah.
Cool. It was exactly what we knew it would be.
And that's all it needs to be. I mean, Undertaker would be here for a regular show. It was that $20 million that rolls in.
Yeah. I'm sure he did.
I've heard some things about the Saudi prince or whatever, what he wanted to see on the show.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
We're two matches away from that. Don't think I haven't had that bit of news tucked in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Then we get to the co-main event of the evening. Brock Lesnar retains his Universal Championship inside, or I guess technically outside of a steel cage against Roman Reigns. The finish here, Roman spears Brock through the side of the cage. Roman's feet touch first, clearly touch first.
Yep.
But Brock retains because the referee had to make a decision. And he was the gimmick they gave the referee on Twitter was to say, oh, I had to stop the match because I was worried about the safety of the performers. I was like, but Roman's feet touched first. And that's the rule. It's not your back.
Plus, his back never actually touched the ground anyway because it was still on the cage.
True.
Unless
he's a
T-1000 and just kind of morphed through the cage.
He just turns into liquid. What a clusterfuck of a situation they have with Roman right now, man.
And just do the turn. Just do it.
Like, I cannot believe, and you know, I hoped they were going to put the strap on him here. It was time. Here's a crowd that's not going to boo him like he got booed in Montreal on Monday.
Still, he got decently booed, and I was surprised with that.
Yeah, there were more boos than I expected, but
if you're going to transition the belt, that would have been the place.
That was the time and the place, and it just made no sense to. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense with me. This whole experiment.
No.
How do you keep doing it and keep going? No. No. No, like, Roman is a total geek now, period.
Yeah, and they keep pulling him in specific directions where, as a fan base, you don't know how to act except to throw the general boos at him.
Yeah.
Because they turn around, they have him be the big badass after beating Undertaker. And you think, okay, we're going with this tweener kind of big bad. All right, I can deal. But then they start playing him up as a face again. Then they start doing the Shield thing. All right, well, that kind of gets him over a little bit. Then Dean got hurt, so that kind of blew that all.
Right.
And then it seems that every direction that they pull him in, they're not committing to anything either. It's well, let's try this for like a month or two. Well, this isn't working. Let's try something else. And
my biggest fear is they're going to put him right back in the title picture again. And just from a storytelling perspective, it makes no sense. From a crowd engagement perspective, it makes no sense because we've watched him lose now 3 times to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Including this, which is, yes, a controversial finish, but I don't care.
You don't.
As much as I want to care about Roman Reigns, you've made me go, eh.
It's over now.
Yeah.
You have to give someone else a shot.
And that's probably the winner of the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah. That's where the transition is taking place. Braun has become what they wanted Roman to be.
I hope so. I hope that's the plan.
Because he's this monster. He's got this monster push, but he's got the fan base behind him. And like the hardcore fans like him. And like the younger crowd digs him, that type of thing. And I don't know if him teaming with the kid for the tag team titles was an effort to kind of make him a little bit more approachable to kids, maybe. I don't know.
It's possible.
My kids like him in general because they get to yell Braun really loud.
Which is always fun.
Yeah.
So let's go to the Greatest Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman wins, eliminates Cass as the final exit. Daniel Bryan sets the record for the longest Rumble appearance of all time, which I would think it will hard to be ever be topped, given that this is a 50-man Rumble. But at 1 hour, 16 minutes, and 16 seconds.
I think it was quicker than I thought it was.
Yeah. Bryan survives the longest. Bryan, who had his chest turned into chopped meat by Roderick Strong. Which, if you haven't seen a picture of what Daniel Bryan's chest looked like when the match finished on Friday, find it. It looked painful.
There was a thing that I retweeted that, you know how people do they'll say the name of a movie, and then they'll show a picture of just a random other thing that kind of goes along with the movie. It was a picture of Daniel Bryan slumped in the corner, like looking dazed, and it was The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah. Right. I didn't see that one.
Because with all the blood on his chest and the beard, and he kind of looked that way.
Notable entrance, Mark Henry, which we already knew.
Yeah.
Number 7, and this is what we were going to get to. You teased it. Go ahead and tell the story of how Hirooki Sumi apparently came to be in the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Okay, for those of you who did not see the Greatest Royal Rumble, at number 7, Hiroki Sumi gets introduced.
I'm sorry, who?
And that was his entrance music, I believe. Everyone collectively going, I'm sorry, who?
Who? Twitter was just this massive, like I had the feed up on the monitor here of the hashtag, and everyone was like, who is this guy?
It was
is he in NXT? Is he at the performance center?
Google literally exploded with trending searches for Hiroki Sumi.
A solid 2 minutes there of...
And here comes this guy, kind of sumo wrestler looking dude, Japanese dude, and I didn't know him, JC didn't know him, nobody knew him. Nobody knew who the hell he was. JR is trying to push him as, oh, was it JR or was it
no.
Was it Cole?
It had to be Cole.
Yeah.
Cole, who previously declared Sergeant Slaughter dead at one point during the show.
The late, great Sergeant Slaughter.
And then 5 minutes later said he had lunch with him last week, and it was like, whoa. Cole, buddy.
Yeah. But so this dude comes out, and Michael Cole's like, oh, it's Hiroki Sumi. So he comes out and he looks like a sumo wrestler and kind of has that garb and the belt. And and you're kind of looking at him and you're going.
He lasts 46 seconds, is eliminated by Mark Henry.
Yeah. You're like, they kind of did a stare down kind of thing, and then Mark Henry just throws him out. So you're looking at him and you're like, you know, he's kind of familiar in a kind of way. So the story goes.
This is the rumor and innuendo.
The crown prince of Saudi Arabia, in wanting the WWE to come to Saudi Arabia, made a list of demands of the wrestlers that they wanted to see on the card, which is why John Cena is here, Triple H, Undertaker. Apparently, the last card seen by the crown prince of Saudi Arabia was not that recent. Because one of the people reportedly on the list was Yokozuna.
Yes.
Who passed away in 2006?
Something like that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hiroki Sumi playing the part of Yokozuna.
So it was pretty much the thing of, it was almost like a major league where they give him the list and like, this guy here is dead. And they go, cross him off then. There was no crossing him off. We still had to get him even if he was dead.
We just found another guy. Hornswoggle was in for a minute. That was fun.
That was fun.
That's always good to see him. Tucker Knight from NXT. Roddy, who we already mentioned. Babatunde, who Cole was trying to sell hard. Yeah.
Tucker Knight threw me off because, like, you brought half of Heavy Machinery.
Yeah.
Just one?
Yeah.
Not the other?
So, apparently, the deal is they brought all these NXT guys, they brought over the ones they had help with the tryouts and training. So, they're the ones they feel are kind of the best hands for that.
Right.
So, and then they're like, well, we're bringing them. Let's just put them in the Rumble. So, Babatunde, Roddy, Tucky, and Dan Matha. Who's a good talent?
Who is totally not a creator wrestler.
No, not at all. Kali did show up.
Yeah.
As you predicted. Number 45. Took the full bump out of the ring, too. I was good on you, Kali.
Yeah. He's no spring chicken, man.
Yep. Jericho was your final entrant at number 50. Shane had the biggest bump of the night as Braun Strowman threw him out of the ring through a commentary table. Because
it's Shane. Love me, Dad.
Yep. Braun Strowman also set the record for most eliminations by a single person in a Rumble match, beating Roman Reigns' record from 2014 by one at 13 men.
You mentioned many of the spots. You did not mention the best spot of the night.
Well, I was saving the best for last.
Okay. You get that one.
At number... Hold on. Let me find what number it
39.
Is. 39. Making moves. Making million-dollar moves. Titus...
What?
Worldwide enters, does his, as everyone does when they enter the Rumble, starts their sprint down the ramp. He gets to the bottom of the ramp, hits the end of the Marley there, and trips and falls, and doesn't just fall, but full on, like, head first slides under the ring. Okay, the fact that nothing was under the ring in the way that he could have gotten entered on, a freaking miracle.
Yeah. That's where the Singapore canes are and the chairs.
And the ladders, yeah. Which we already had. I have never heard Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton laugh so hard at it. And it was, it was a shoot.
Yeah.
All the laughter, all the, and you know, the rumor was apparently Vince also thought it was hilarious, which of course he did. Because everyone did. Why wouldn't you? So that's the reason we saw the replay. I don't know, for the next 5 minutes straight from varying angles.
14 people got eliminated, but it's okay.
WWE has released the alternate angle video. They've cut together every camera they had available so you could see it on their YouTube. I'm sure you've seen it. There was already the RKO remix of it. So Randy Orton comes out and RKOs him to the ground.
There's a t-shirt.
There is. He's got a t-shirt. Was it? Yep. I can't remember what it says, but he has his t-shirt out of it. They worked it into his gimmick on Monday.
Yep.
Where he took the fake bump off the apron to distract Baron Corbin, which is fun.
He missed... You mentioned the fact that there was nothing underneath the ring. He missed the top, which, of course, the hardest part of the ring.
Well, yeah.
By 6 inches?
Maybe, yeah. In fact, he didn't smack his forehead on it.
Like, and he's a big guy. It's not like he's a small,
yeah.
Like, and yeah.
But that is the most memorable thing from this Rumble. And will be for years to come. We will see that replay in every Rumble by the Numbers package until the end of time.
And it's funny because when you're watching it live, when we're watching it live, he gets introduced and they kind of show him start to come down to the ring, and then they go back into the ring because the action's still in the ring. You don't bother to watch somebody climb into the ring.
And they just never see him.
And that's it. And then just hysterical laughter.
You're cold, go, what happened?
And then they finally cut over, and all you see is like feet. It looks like the Wicked Witch of the West had the fucking ring dropped on top of him.
Yeah. Thank God for Titus O'Neil.
Oh, God.
It was amazing.
He saved that Rumble.
He did. So, that was a show that happened. Another glorified house show.
Yeah. It was entertaining, I guess, for them. It was something to watch. It's not something that you would have necessarily paid money for. I would have been a little bit disappointed had it been a pay-per-view that I would have paid money for, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But just to have something that was, you know, a special one day. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the grandeur of it.
Yes.
It was cool. I did not enjoy the propaganda package in the middle.
No.
With crying woman being like, I can drive now! And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was a visit Saudi Arabia. We're awesome and totally not, you know, hated with women.
Right. Let's move quickly through our predictions for Backlash this Sunday on the WWE Network, live from somewhere in New Jersey that no one gives a damn about because it's New Jersey.
I'm not going to argue that.
not Trenton. Newark.
Newark. Oh, God.
They're in Newark.
Oh, God.
Let's start from the bottom. Now we hear Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley take on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Lashley's in the promotion.
He's been here for a month. So they're stuck in this weird... I'm glad this pay-per-view is happening because this gets them out of the weird post-Mania rhythm that they had of what we had to do. The two shows after Mania, which were call-ups. Then we had to do the shake-up. Then we had to do Greatest Royal Rumble. Now we've got Backlash.
Right.
Now they can... After this, they'll be able to start actually building stories and stuff. But Strowman and Lashley versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Braun and Bobby win.
Yeah. Do we build anything here with Braun versus Bobby?
I don't know, but I'm kind of... That would be cool.
That would be something.
I'd like to see that.
They got to do something with Bobby. They got nothing for Bobby right now.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan takes on Big Cass in a match no one ever wanted to see in their lifetime.
We're just praying no one gets hurt.
Yep. I'm going to assume... I feel like Big Cass will probably win this. Cause I feel like they're going to tell this story for a little bit.
No.
You think Bryan wins?
Yes.
I can see Cass winning it. Daniel's first singles pay-per-view match, though. Back. I could see. Yeah. It's a toss. This is a toss-up.
They can't give Cass that much of a push. I don't think he's going to get that much of a push, really.
Tom. See how big he is. Literally, that's the whole thing.
We have plenty of Big Ben.
He's been given so much promo time in the last 2 weeks and has actually done a decent job. Carmella defends the women's SmackDown Women's Championship against Charlotte. Charlotte, take it back here? I don't think it's time for that.
No.
I think you can stretch this out one more month.
Give Carmella, I mean, and Carmella really hasn't had that much time necessarily with the belt anyway. I think we're going to get a little screw job with the Iconics and...
True.
We'll maybe get some kind of...
I'm good with that. You know, me being such a big Charlotte mark, I'm still good with that decision. We need time to tell the story, build the story. Nia Jax defends against Alexa Bliss. I'm going to assume Nia retains.
Yeah.
Because we got to start setting up her and Ronda at some point.
Yeah. And just keep the story going. I mean... Bliss is fine on her own. I don't think she necessarily needs the belt right now. She had the belt for a while. Let's give Nia a little bit of a run with it.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Jeff Hardy defends the U.S. title against Randy Orton. There's no reason to put the belt back on Randy, so you leave it on Jeff.
I think I read somewhere where this is like one of the first Grand Slam versus Grand Slam champions.
Ooh, interesting. It would be, wouldn't it?
Because like 4 to 5 people, I think... got their grand slams like in the last like 6 months.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, Jeff Hardy retains.
Yeah. There's nothing to do with Randy right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what his next feud is. So but I could see them going up Hardy and,
we'll get it. We need a decent little push with Jeff holding the belt. So,
yeah. And Vince loves him. So Vince loves Randy too. So, Seth Rollins defends his Intercontinental Championship against The Miz. I'm going to assume Seth retains. Maybe. And we start to see Balor turn. Maybe Balor gets involved and costs Seth the championship.
Well, Miz can't take it because then that'll put both belts on SmackDown.
Right.
So as much as The Miz and the Intercontinental title go together, you can't.
Oh, I forgot about him changing brands. Okay. Yeah. Finn is involved here somewhere.
Yeah.
The Finn turn is imminent, I think. And it'll be good for him. It's going to be very good for him.
But what sucks...
We need strong heels on Raw right now.
But what sucks is you lost to Good Brothers.
I don't think he needs them.
I think it would have worked pretty well.
I think they work better with him in a face capacity than in a heel capacity.
But do you really want to put in, especially with his... you know, crossover appeal as a heel at this point?
I don't think it matters. They have the heels wear the Komen stuff every year.
Yeah.
I'm talking from their viewpoint, not from logic.
It's not the same though. Yeah. I wouldn't turn him right now.
No, I think it's coming though. When does his, when does the deal with GLAAD on the t-shirt end?
End of June.
Okay, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Then in the main event, because God forbid Brock Lesnar show up to a pay-per-view, AJ Styles defends against Shinsuke Nakamura in an ODQ match.
Feels as if we've just seen this match recently. Yeah.
I feel like it's time, though. I feel like this could be the switch.
Why not?
Because, yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to let AJ chase for... AJ's held that belt long enough. AJ doesn't need the belt.
And, I mean, heel Shinsuke just is working at this
point.
It's
so good.
And at this point, to have him have the title as well, just to be this complete dickish heel with the title, like, you know, I can see people ask, you know, like trying to get, like, title matches with him, and like...
No.
No understand English.
Right. Cool. All right. Ready to move on to the final segment of the night, Tom?
I think so.
Let's move on to some pin mail.
We had a request.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to do it.
No. I feel the need to explain myself. You seemed like you were going to actually...
No, I thought you were just going to do the song.
So someone asked us... Hi, Derek. Someone asked us that in the past, if we could sing the pin mail theme to various wrestling themes. The request for this week was the American Males theme song.
And so now it is time for pin mail.
It's time for pin mail. 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 Time for pin mail.
There we go. Beautiful. Our only pin mail comes from Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
Yep. Roman is the new Luger, right? Is there any way he gets the strap this year? If so, does anyone care? We kind of went into this a little bit.
Yeah.
Luger
is a great comparison for him.
By the way, Derek, very excited in Twitch chat about your
song. I saw that. All caps and everything. Luger is a very good comparison for him just because he's got the look. He is the total package, basically. And him as a champion just doesn't work for whatever reason.
Yep.
And that was the same thing with Luger. They put the strap on him in WCW a couple of times. It just didn't work. They were going to put the strap on him in the WWF when he went there, and it just didn't work. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right.
You can still be a high-level guy, but you just can't be the person that the company depends on.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't think we're to the Luger level yet, but we're definitely trending in that direction, and it makes me nervous for him. I've talked about this on this show 100 times. Roman has potential to be the face of this company in all facets, from carrying the strap to being, you know, the next John Cena at the forefront of being the marketing piece. But if you keep doing this, he's got to win at some point.
It's forcing a square peg into a round hole.
You
got to roll with it, and you can do, and at this point, Vince is just not doing the heel turn because everyone's saying, God damn it, do the heel turn. So he's being bullheaded about it right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for pin mail. So I guess we conclude our first ever in-person live on Twitch episode
of
the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
It's probably been long enough. People have already been back and forth from work several times.
We're at an hour and 2 minutes.
We're right on schedule. Well, we've been talking for a while. We just haven't technically been recording the podcast for that long.
It's been longer. And then we'll go a few more minutes when we're finished. Which is why you should watch us record live.
Yeah.
twitch.tv/cheatersnbrpin.
It's all that extra content.
Right. Because that's what you need, is more of Tom and I in your life. Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go to the Twitter machine, at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. Don't go anywhere else, except the Twitch channel, apparently. I don't have a Twitch channel, because I'm old and don't understand that crap. But if you go to the Cheers Never Pin Twitch channel, you can find me there occasionally.
There you go. You can find me, JC, on the internet at JC Bobbitt, JCBOBBITT, wherever finer social media is found. That was spelled correctly.
Yep.
I haven't been drinking tonight, so we're good.
Just going over. You do that pretty damn quick.
Yep. You could find the show everywhere at Cheaters in VR Pin, except on Facebook, where we actually have enough characters to spell the word never. So find us on Twitter, Cheaters in VR Pin, on Twitch, Cheaters in VR Pin. Buy the merch, as you can see, Tom has Amazon.com. Search Cheaters Never Pin. We got our T-shirt up there. I think that does it.
Yeah.
This has been fun, buddy.
It has been.
We should do this again next week.
We should. Should we?
I think we should.
We'll see. We'll see if my wife lets me.
So thank you for being with us yet again. I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.